The gates down Magnolia Lane have opened. The azaleas in full bloom, the fairways looking better than ever. Augusta National. The name alone hits different. It's the start of championship season, and the field for the 2025 Masters could not be more stacked. Rory's chasing history. Scotty has looked untouchable. This isn't just another major. This is the Masters. And this is the Masters special on the Drew Busney Show. And welcome in to the Masters special on the Drew Busney Show. By far, my favorite episode I do all year because of the prestige of the tournament. You look at the fans. You have to go through a lottery to get in. It's on every golfer's bucket list to go, and many don't get to go once in their whole lifetime. Then you look at the reporters. They're housed in their own section. No one's even allowed on course. There's no cameramen. There's no journalist on course. They're out of there. The patrons get the full load of the live golf. And you look at the TV coverage, CBS, ESPN, they have limited hours. It used to be 5 hours each day on the weekend. It got up to 7, but still, you barely get to see it. And the Masters highlights what golf is really about. It's a mind game above anything. Technique matters, yes. So you can hit the ball off the ground. You can put spin on it. You can aim where you need to aim. But at the end of the day, the most important thing in golf is, can you keep your mind level? If you make a bogey, how are you going to bounce back? Are you going to bounce back with a double bogey? Or are you going to forget about it? Reset your mind and you're going to bounce back with a par. Drive it right down the middle, get on in regulation, two putt, the A-plus way to make a par. That's what this is all about. And that's what Rory has to face. Because yes, for the first time ever, Rory won twice before April, before the Masters. His technique is there. He's hitting the ball amazing. He is playing unbelievable golf. But can he get past the mental block? The fact that he hasn't completed the career Grand Slam? The fact that this whole week leading up to it, everyone's going to be asking, can he finally do it? And he changed his prep. For the first time, he went to the Texas Children's Houston Open. He played at a golf course that has similar characteristics to Augusta. Mainly the fact that there's the open fairways that going a little wayward isn't going to hurt you. Yes, of course, going 50 yards off target, you'll end up in the pie straw at Augusta. But a little bit off, you're fine. You're able to get on a regulation. Yes, it's a tougher shot, but you still have that chance. It highlights the fact that it's a second shot golf course. It's about your short game. The second most important part of golf, right? You putt for dough, you drive for show. Putting's what matters. Chipping's what matters. Rory's driving the ball great, but I don't think that really matters at Augusta. I think if you drive it 50 yards past him and you're right down the middle, it's fine. I think it's whoever takes that next shot and lands close to the pin and can two putt at max. Right? Three putts, four putts are going to absolutely kill you here. But can he beat the number one golfer in the world? Scotty just opened as a plus 440 favorite to defend his championship. $20 million is on the line. Can he do it? Can his third major be his third Masters? And Rory opened right behind him at plus 600. Minus 140 to make the top 10. But in reality, Rory was always going to make the top 10. He has averaged 3 days, and he always plays well on the final day. But can Rory be in the final group on round four? My gut's telling me this is the year he is. I don't see it as the year he wins, but I think this year he's actually in contention in the final round. It's not you're five back in the final round, and you shoot six under, and now you're two back at the end of the day. You never had a chance to win. Never. But I think this is the year that he's in the final group in the Masters. The third favorite is Colin Morikawa. He's at 14-1 odds, and he's been playing solid golf. He has been in contention a lot. He blew that lead at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, stormed out of the media. There's that whole scene. But he's been playing good. Great driver of the ball. Absolutely great putter. Two-time major champion. The Open, the PGA. For some reason, he never really seems to show up. I think these odds are too high for him. I don't see him making the cut. My gut's telling me he's going to struggle. I also think Bryson's going to struggle. He is the next best odds after Colin. Just because I don't think it's a smash mouth golf course. I don't care if you can drive at 400 yards. I think Bryson has this aspect around him, whatever the word you want to use, the fact that he's really only a long ball hitter. I don't see him as this wizard around the greens. I see him a guy who drives a 380 par 4 and on one and as an eagle putt and gets onto every par 5 and 2, but the finesse that's needed around the course, I don't see that from him. Because that's what this golf course needs, finesse. It's not, let me hit it 30 yards from the green, chip on. I'm not sure Bryson can chip on and make birdie. I just don't see that from him. Like, this whole new world is the fact that who can drive it farther. I don't really think how far you drive it really matters. If I'm 50 yards behind you on the fairway, but I'm a great iron player and a great putter and I can get on the green and then two putt and make par, and then you're going to be 50 yards in front of me and duff your next shot and three putt and you make bogey, like, what's the point of you out driving by 50 yards? It doesn't matter. Driving reality doesn't matter. For your drives, you just have to hit it down the middle of the fairway at least 200, 220 yards. Who cares if you're 300 yards? Then you duff your iron and you can't putt and you make bogey. Great. Yo, I drove it 220 yards. I have a great iron game. Okay, I missed the green a little bit. I can chip it. I have great hands. I chipped it right next to the hole. Tap in par. Great. Did driving matter there? No. Short game mattered. The finesse mattered. And it's something I don't think Bryson has. I think he'll make the cut, yes. I don't think he's going to win. But I think that's why he wins the U.S. Open. Because the U.S. Open are played on these really long golf courses that he can smash mouth his way around. Augusta's not one of those courses. It's not a course that the long drives win. Yes, cool, you drive it long, but I think that's for other majors. I don't think it's for the type of golf course Augusta National is. And right after that is Ludvig Åberg, just going down the list of who's favorited to win. And he finished second last year's tournament as a rookie. And you see this a lot with teams, professional sports teams. You saw this with the Rangers a couple years ago in baseball. Same with the Diamondbacks. Is they're players that no one really thought was going to do well. No one thought that Åberg was going to get second last year. He blew everything out of the water, surprised all. That's what you saw when the Rangers won the World Series a couple years back. Next year, they missed the playoffs. I think that's the trend in sports nowadays, is that you kind of blow everything out of the water. You do what people aren't expecting. And then you struggle the year after. So I don't think Åberg's going to make the cut. I really don't. Just history has told me when these things happen, that when rookies beat expectations, I think they have a setback the following year. I'm not saying he's never going to win the Masters. I just think this year is not his year. Now, the last player I think is going to struggle, and not because of his game, is Xander Schauffele. He won two majors last year, but he's been hurt. And I think he's played two tournaments this year since coming back from that injury, and I just don't think you can play two tournaments and then dominate Augusta. So he's out for me. He's missing the cut for me. I think Phil's missing the cut. I think he doesn't have the game anymore. And all this hype of him playing well in LIV, I don't think it's going to translate. And I worry about the LIV guys, more about the stamina. And I know I say this every year, and every year I'm wrong, but you give a business usually about 2 years to succeed, and the year to really judge them is the third year, and LIV is in their third year. And it's now 3 years of playing 17 tournaments a year, the four majors and the 12 or 13 LIV events. And the 12 events, you play three rounds as shotgun with shorts and blasting music. And tournament that doesn't really feel competitive most of the time. Is that lack of tournament experience, the intensity that you get at the Masters? Because the tour golfers, every year after, they go to the RBC Heritage at Harbor Links, and they say, my mind's just not where it is. It took everything out of me at the Masters. So you have to prepare for that mentality of it, right? It's a mind game. And the preparation for playing four rounds on the PGA Tour, which I think the intent is a little bit more because I think the etiquette is higher and the way people act is in a more civilized way, does that put them at any slightest advantage over the live guys who kind of play these frat tournaments that are parties? They're blasting music. Everyone's drunk. And I know I said this a couple years ago and last year, but you know, that was early on. They still knew what this intensity was, but now living 3 years in more of this less intense tour, is that finally going to put them at a disadvantage? And right, I could totally be overreacting. I could just trying to be fine a plot to hate Liv. I don't hate Liv. I really wish they merged. I like the format of it. I don't really like how it's, I don't really like the people that run it, but I like the idea of the team, the Formula One aspect, the global aspect of golf. And I love the players on it. I don't like the people that run it just because that they created this whole mess. The fact that we have to be seen as enemies between the PGA Tour and the LIV. That's what I don't want. Cool, you want this other idea of a tour? Great, we'll work it into the PGA Tour schedule. But the fact that there's this beef and there's this tension I don't like. If we wanted a global tour, we could have made that on the PGA Tour. We have that one tournament in Japan. We go to Mexico. Great. We could have made more tournaments. I just don't like the way it branched off. I don't like how the people that run it make it seem like it's this or that. That people can't root for both. And that people have to hate one. When in reality, I just want to watch golf with all the best players in the world anymore. That's what I want to see. I want to watch the best players of golf, and I don't want to have to tune into two channels to do so. So people running these tours need to get their act together, and they have to bring golf back. But that's for another time. This is about the Masters. Went off on a little bit of a tangent. But the Masters starts 3 p.m. ESPN, Thursday. Who's going to win? Who is going to make history? That's the question. It may not be the biggest purse, but it means the most to win this tournament. And it's down to who has the two most important aspects of golf. Who has the mind game and who has the short game. That's what wins you. How many putts you're going to take. Max two putts per hole, right? That's what we always say. Three putts lose it to you. Or lose it for you, sorry. But this course highlights how important it is. And I can't wait to watch it. The best weekend, the best week in the golf season starts now. Enjoy it. And we'll see you Monday after we crown the 2025 Masters Champion.